Okay, it's June the 20th, 2021 at Zion Baptist Church. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people. It's always good to be in the Lord's house. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I don't know how much that is said anymore, but it is said by His people that love Him and have had love for Him put in their hearts. It is said by them it is good. And I was glad when they said unto me. And the day is coming, and it'll be said again by a lot more people. That has always been the effects of God's judgment coming upon a nation, and always will be. We seem to wander, as we are prone to do, and this nation has turned to sodomy. It has turned to ungodliness. It has turned to idol worship. It has turned to the love of pleasures, the love of entertainment, the love of money, and not the love of God nor the love of His Word. But when God's judgment is poured out upon a nation and they begin to suffer tremendously, they will be filling the houses of the Lord, looking for some relief of that judgment. Israel did it many, many, many times through the generations of people as they would turn from God and fall in love with themselves and entertainment and the things of this world, and God's judgment would come upon them, and then they would begin to cry out unto God for mercy. It's always been that way. Always will be. And God would forgive them and bless them as they would turn and begin to worship Him and read the Scriptures and do the things that He commanded them to do. And He would bless them. And little by little, they would turn again. And that's the way we've done in these United States. So I pray God's judgment would come upon us and draw His people back into Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. We proceed. Purified souls. The title of the sermon today, Purified Souls. Brother Gerald has a birthday this month, next week. I don't know how old he'll be, but he's getting on up there. He's white-headed. And if Brother Randy Parker had lived, he would have been a year older on the 4th of this month. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But his dear bride is with us today. It's good to see Sister Sandra. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, that means unadulterated, love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Our Father, we thank You for the reading of the Word this morning and pray Your blessings upon it. Pray that it would be beneficial to Your people. Lord, that You might enlighten us to the truth of Thy Word and forgive us of our sins. Cause us, Lord, to remember always to pray for this nation, that You might bring Your judgment upon it, that You might bring us to our knees in repentance for where we've come to and what we've allowed, what preachers have allowed, Father. What preachers refuse to preach on the truth of thy word against sodomy and against idolatry and against the love of the pleasures of this world and of this life. I blame pastors and preachers all over this nation for refusing to preach against sin. Forgive us, Father. Have mercy upon us this day. Please enlighten us to the truth of thy word. Grow us in your grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For he taught the truth when he was here and left us his written word that we may read and learn thereby. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Seeing you have purified your souls. What does that mean? Seeing ye have purified your souls. How do ye purify your soul? That means to make clean. Which insinuates that before this, we were impure, unclean. The word also means obscene, defiled by sin and guilt, unholy. That's what that word means. Seeing you have purified your soul, that insinuates that at one point we were impure. And that's what that word impure means. Unclean, obscene, defiled by sin and guilt, and unholy. And the Bible teaches that very thing. All of mankind from Adam and Eve and going forward are impure in our natural born state and condition. Obscene, defiled with sin and guilt. Now, please encourage your children, your grandchildren, not to depend upon modern-day definitions of words, but use the Bible first for definitions of words, and then a Noah Webster dictionary for the proper definitions of words so that they understand. If we don't understand the meaning of words, or if we have a false understanding of words, then we don't understand and know the truth. Teach your families to do so. For when they read out of modern day Bibles, they're not going to understand the truth because they change the words in these new translations. And even in the King James, if they don't understand what purified means and what it insinuates, that at one point we were not pure, then they won't have the truth and the true understanding of what they're reading. The real truth only comes from above and cannot be attained by reading only. Or hearing it from man's mouth. It must come or be revealed to each elect by the Father. Because the world never will understand. We read that in 1 Corinthians. They cannot understand. You must be born from above because only spiritual-minded people can understand spiritual things. And the world is dead in their sins and in their trespasses, separated from God, alienated from Him, and they cannot hear it. With spiritual ears, they will not. Doesn't matter how much you persuade or whatever, you cannot make them understand in their mind and in their heart. They're dead. That does not stop us from preaching the gospel to them and teaching the word of God to them. But only God can reveal the truth to them. You could ask Peter or read the words of Jesus in Matthew 11 and 25. The Lord Jesus said, 11 and 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Now, just reading something like that ought to give you the idea that God is the one that's in control, not man. You can read the book from one end to the other continuously until you're dead and never understand and see the truth of God's Word. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. In other words, wise in their own minds, in their own eyes, and prudent in their own eyes, in their own mind, and hast revealed them unto babes, ignorant people. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered, verse 27, unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Just reading those three verses ought to tell us that it's God that's in control, not man. So when you talk to people and they wonder, you can turn on over to Matthew 16 if you would like. And they wonder why the world's in such a shape and why it is and why did God let it get this way. God didn't let it get this way. God decreed it to be this way. When God's people quit reading His Word and praying, this is what happens. The same thing that's happened to this nation. When preachers quit preaching the truth of the gospel and quit preaching against sin, this is what happens to a nation. That's happened to this nation. And they're still not preaching against sin. They're still not preaching the truth of the gospel. And this is what happens to a nation. And then God's judgment comes upon that nation. Always has. Just read the book. Just start over there in Genesis and read the book. And see what happens to them. And God said, I change not. I'm not trying to make a prophecy here against the United States. I'm just telling you what the history says in the Scriptures. And God's judgment's going to come upon this nation. It appears it's already started with the president being elected like the one we have now. It appears God's judgment has already started upon us. The last time I went to the grocery store, seems like we have to go several times a week, but yeah, I saw Sister Sandra there. Distracted her. She had to move down an aisle because she waited so long it wouldn't process her stuff and it wouldn't come back on. She had to move down to the next register and try it again. I felt so sorry for her. I thought, see there, running your mouth. Of course, I think she was running hers as much as I was running mine, but either way. But when I was checking out, the cashier said, you better get what you're going to get while you can get it. She said, because the prices are fixing to go so high, people on a fixed income won't be able to afford their groceries. Toilet paper, paper towels, and everything. She said, is fixing to go outrageous. I said, ain't that something? thanks to our democracy. That's what they like to call it now, a democracy, not a republic that lives under the laws of a constitution. You know, I have in my phone the Constitution. I can pull it up. I got it saved. And the Bill of Rights. I have it saved. I like to read it from time to time so that I can remind people from time to time what the Constitution says. Because when they come for my guns, I'm going to remind them what the Second Amendment of the Constitution says, that I have a right to keep and bear arms at all times, and that right shall not be infringed upon. And I mean everybody around me is going to keep that constitutional amendment. We still have a republic. I don't care what they say in Washington, and I don't care what them noodle backbone representatives that we sent up there that are worthless and doing nothing but getting money in their own pockets. And the Republican Party sent me a form to fill out and had questions at the bottom if I supported this and this and this, and I just had to write out beside them, no. If I supported that we put a stop to tax increases, I went, no. No, don't want to put a stop to tax increases. I want to decrease the taxes and government spending, you idiots. But that's where we've come to as a nation. Boy, I chased that rabbit and forgot where I was at. If we think about our state or condition as natural-born mankind, we will or should have a better understanding of God's hatred, abhorrence, detestation of sin. If we think about our natural condition that we're born in, as dead in our trespasses and sins, alienated from God, separated from Him, cannot come to Him in that condition. His justification, His complete nature of justice requires any creature, all of mankind, be guilty before His judgment seat for breaking the least or anyone of His commandments or and His will. All mankind are guilty. The penalty, eternal death and damnation of our souls. Romans 3:19 through 23. Romans chapter 3. Let's read that. It won't take long. Romans 3:19 through 23. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, with all thy strength. You're guilty of not doing that. Therefore, the penalty is eternal damnation of your soul and eternal death. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. I think I went too far. No, I didn't. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, meaning between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, everyone, every creature, every human that's ever been born of a woman from Adam on down. But God. You remember that? Anybody remember where that wonderful, famous statement is penned? Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, that, I love that word that, and I love that word but God, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now that goes right back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. But God. And who was it? Who was it? Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, in good works. Now, there may be an external so-called purity without the inward or spiritual purity. This is that of worldly works. That's the kind of works that thieves have that are trying to get into the great celestial city the wrong way. By works, by good deeds. Going around the cross instead of through the cross. Jesus is the only way. Only by the cross and the blood that was spilled there and carried to the holiest of holies by our Redeemer and Savior. There is no going around the cross. There is no going around what the Scriptures implicitly teach about being born again by the Spirit of the living God. Having a love put inside you for God and His Word and His people. You cannot get by those things. You cannot go around those things. You must be born from above by the Spirit of the living God. You can walk the walk all you want to, but you must be born from above. So there is a inward and a spiritual purification, and it always leads to the outward purification. Always. So, the worldly purification and the spiritual purification, bringing about the outward purification, may look a lot alike. The spiritual purification of changing one's outward condition and his outward living will look a lot like the worldly purification, where a person is just working himself into heaven or trying to. They look a lot alike. That's the reason many people are deceived by Well, let me ask you something. How can people be deceived by Joel Osteen? How can they be deceived by such an idiot? You must be born from above. There's no other way. And in order to be born from above, your name's got to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Jesus had to die for you. And any preacher that'll stand in the pulpit and tell you that Jesus died for everybody, every human that's ever been born of the flesh, is either a fool or an idiot or a downright deceiver. Trying to get more people into his congregation by just getting them to come down the aisle and accept Jesus as personal Savior. He's a liar from the pits of hell. That's not what my Bible teaches. You must be born from above. And your name must have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, before God made the covenant with His Son to redeem His people from their sins. And if He did, you're coming. And you're going to repent. You're going to purify your soul. It's going to change your outward appearance and your outward behavior. Are you going to be perfect? No. Are you going to try to be? Yes. We're going to try to be. We're not going to be, but we're going to try to be. And we'll always recognize that we're not. And the older we get and the closer to that Jordan River we get, the better we see ourselves just how depraved and defiled we've been and how unworthy we are to cross that river. But brethren, they are not the same, the worldly purification and the spiritual purification. The true purification comes from obeying the truth out of God-given love for Him and His Word and His people to the obeying of His truth. I get that from 1 Peter 1 and 22. Not 2 Peter 1 and 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That word fervently means on fire. It means on fire that you love one another, that you remember to pray for one another, that you remember to raise each other up before the throne of grace, that you're always ready to help in a time of need your brethren and sisters. That's commanded here. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, the only people that have pure hearts are those who've been born from above. And it's been made pure by the living God. It's been made pure by the Spirit of the living God birthing you and making you spiritually alive. It's been made pure by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ that has been applied to your record in heaven. So that you're able to approach the throne of grace, otherwise you could not. You may pray. This guy bounced telling me the other day, or somebody told me, that's not getting above the ceiling. The scripture says, for we know that God heareth not sinners. You say, well, preacher, I thought we were all sinners. We are. Some of us are saved sinners, some of us are lost. But the saved are the only ones that God hears. And John 15:3 says, "Now ye are clean through the word," Jesus said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You remember the definition of purification is clean, made clean. We didn't make ourselves clean. He said, well, in 1 Peter 22 there it says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It says that. What does that mean? When you compare it to other scriptures, what does that mean? That means you have been given the gift of faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. But is the Lord Jesus righteousness that purifies your soul? But you have believed. You've believed because you were given the gift of faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You can't forget those scriptures. That's the reason the Bible says to study the Word. Study the Word. Study the Word. So that you remember those things, and this Holy Spirit brings those things back to your mind. So when you read something like this, you're not confused when it says, "Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." What is obeying the truth? The truth is that you must believe and trust the Lord Jesus for the salvation of your souls. You say, "Well, I did." The only reason you did is because God gave you faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. And that's the reason the Lord Jesus said, "Father, I thank you that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes." John 17:17 says Jesus was praying and he said, "Sanctify them. Thy truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That's when the Lord Jesus was praying before he ascended to the Father. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And verse 19 of the same chapter, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself," Jesus says, "that they also might be sanctified through the truth." We're sanctified through the truth. That sanctified is the same as being purified, made clean. That's being sanctified. Oh, there's some people that put a big ordeal on sanctification. There's an internal sanctification and there's an external sanctification. There's an internal purification, there's an external purification. The internal always has to come first. Oh, you can make yourself have self-control to control your actions and your words so it appears that you're purified internally. That doesn't make you purified internally. You must be born from above. Acts 15:19, And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Meaning the Gentiles. They were only being Jews saved until Peter went down and preached to Cornelius. And he saw. And when the apostles went, and they preached to the Gentiles and they were saved, and they went back and gave this report, and he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And that faith is the gift of God. Romans 6 and 16 and 17. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. We were the servants of sin. We are no longer the servants of sin. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, you know well, but we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And say, when you read that, anybody, well, no, they can't. Been hid from them. Worldly people, unsaved people, spiritual things, they're blinded to them. They are hid from them. They cannot see them. You must be born from above to understand that and to see things like, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. Through sanctification of the Spirit of God. When He birthed us and made us alive, He purified us. He sanctified us. The righteousness of Christ was imputed on our behalf. And belief of the truth. We were chosen to that. We were chosen to be given the gift of faith. We were chosen to be sanctified by the Spirit of the living God, being born again, not of corruptible things, but incorruptible. We were chosen for those things. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He's talking to God's people. Purify your hearts. First Peter 3:1. Not getting on to the ladies or anything, or the sisters, but it says, likewise, ye wives. This is good stuff and I like it. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands. Now that ain't me saying it. I'm just reading what the book says. And if you don't like it, throw the whole Bible in the garbage and spit on it and curse your soul to hell. Because I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. And I'm sorry if it offends you. But I'm not sorry. God has a reason for everything that He does and everything that He commands. And you better believe it and cling to it. Whether you understand it or not. There's a lot I don't understand in the Scriptures, but that matters not. I still have to believe it and cling to it. Likewise, ye wives, and that's not what I'm preaching on, but be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, meaning if your husband don't obey the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Reminds me of my grandmother and my granddad. My grandmother was a fine Christian woman who loved the Lord and read the Scriptures and taught them to me from the time I was so little I can't remember till she went on. And I'm sure over the years, her husband, my granddaddy, Papa Tim, was won by the words of my grandmother. When you hear the word, and I was just a grandchild and heard it from time to time until I become 12 years old, and then I could call her and we sure enough had conversations, but what if you was her husband and that's all you heard? Every breath, every word was about God and His holy word. And my grandpa became a very humble man in his latter years. A very fine man. Was in church every Sunday. I sat on the pew beside him, called the Amen Corner. That's what it's talking about here, is the Word of God. For the time has come that judgment, 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end, or what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You know the answer. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. By hearing the word. Don't ever miss the opportunity of sharing the gospel and the word of God with people that you're around. Because you never know the effect that it's going to have on them. That don't mean they're going to fall on their knees in front of you and ask God to forgive them of their sins. May, because what did the apostle say? One plants, another waters, and another receives or reaps the increase. So the person that reaps the increase cannot take the credit for winning a soul to the Lord Jesus, because somebody had to plant the seed. Somebody else had to come along and water the seed. And then somebody else come along and reap the harvest. Isn't that wonderful? That's just good stuff. That's good stuff. So that removes any reason that you might have not to share the gospel. It doesn't matter where you go. Will people hate you for doing it? Yes, they will. Oh, how many times I've heard Randy Parker tell me, people will pass on the other side of the street to keep me from meeting them head on because they knew what was going to happen. I was fixing to preach the gospel to them. And they would. They would go around him to keep from hearing him preach the gospel and talk about the Holy Scriptures and talk about the love of God. Will they hate you? Yes, they'll hate you. Did they hate the Lord Jesus? Yes. Did they hang him on the cross because he told them the truth? Yes. You think they hated Jesus? You think they hated Jesus? They nailed him to a cross, drove spikes through his hands and his feet because he told them the truth, and they did not want to hear it. And it's going to get that way here before God's judgment is through with this nation. Is it time for me to quit? No amens to that. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, talking about the Lord Jesus, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I remember when I first came here, I was preaching about keeping and doing the Word of God. It's always been about obedience, and it always will be about obedience. Does your being obedient give you a right to the throne or to the to the gates of heaven? Absolutely not. But if you're not obedient, well, it's in this same book. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. It's always been a... What was it about with Adam and Eve? Obedience. Adam! Do what I told you and you'll live forever. Obey me! And you'll live forever. He could not. Nor could Eve, being deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived, beguiled by the devil. That old serpent, Satan himself. There be no tears from the saints for them that are cast into the lake of fire, even your own children being cast there. The Bible says we will shout hallelujah and praise to the Almighty when He pronounces judgment upon them and cast them into the lake of fire. For they refuse to repent and come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, well, their names wasn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's right. That's exactly right. And they never wanted to come to Jesus. The Bible is very clear. Any man that wants to come, Jesus said, let him come. Let him come. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. Now I'll give you rest. You're without excuse. You're without excuse. Because Jesus said, come. We'll close there for today and take up the same place, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. I can't remember who I called on last time to dismiss us. Last time we were here.